You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Five o'clock refreshes brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill.
I'm here. I got you. Okay. I got you.
You like that song. You wanted to let the song play.
I'm just letting it breathe, man. Just letting that song. You got to let good music roll for a bit, you know. Let people soak it up. We're going to get to what Pete Carroll had to say here in a few moments. He was a guest of John Clayton earlier today. We'll get to that. Just a quick update for those of you just tuning in. The news surrounding Quentin Dunbar is not good. It's not good around DeAndre Baker. It's not good around the Dunbar's attorney. It's not good around the witnesses. It's really not good for anybody. A story coming out in the New York Daily News, authored by Pat Leonard, who we had on the program earlier. In case you missed that, that'll be available for you on the podcast page at 710sports.com after the show. But just to put it into a nutshell, there's video evidence of a payoff. There's text messages. There's direct messages from Instagram from parties involved in all of this about a payoff and where should we meet and I've got the money now. And then it was all apparently taking place at the office of Quentin Dunbar's attorney, Mr. Grieco. So you can read that story. New York Daily News is where it was out. I retweeted the link if you guys want to check it out. It's a longer story, but lots of info in there and none of it good, as I said. But I retweeted it out at Bob Stelton on Twitter. So that news is not good. We'll get to some more of that coming up in the next segment. But Pete Carroll, the head coach, a guest with the professor today, and they went through a bunch of different things. Started out, Pete Carroll, just talking about, you know, in this pandemic situation, protecting players is the priority, and if camp has to start later in order to do that, that's going to be okay.
What we're finding is the whole idea of can we protect our people? You know, how can we protect our players and their families, our coaches and their families, and all of the people that support as we go through the process of you know, unveiling, you know, a football season. So much that goes into it. And the thing that I'm feeling, you know, that right now we would like all the information we could get. We want to be as smart as we can as we make these choices and decisions as we move forward. And if we need more time to get it done, I hope that we'll take it. If we needed to postpone the start of, you know, camp coming up, we could use that to our advantage. I think we should do it.
He looks at it as a positive. That's so weird. We could use that to our advantage. I love it, Pete. I can't remember the last time I've heard Pete say anything, but you know what? That was lousy. Or they got to fix that. Or they got just a complaint. Even if he does complain about a moment, he'll turn around and give you a positive. It's an uncanny element to his personality that I appreciate.
It's one of the things about him that won me over early with him is that and I think it's in the military. They say you can't accept or you can't refuse to accept the situation. And he does that. And we heard that from Yogi Roth yesterday. I think, Jim, you might have asked him, does he ever have a bad day? But I mean, when something, you never hear him complain about the way things are, including injuries. You know, he'll talk about, hey, look, we're going to talk about the guy that's going to play in his place. And it just, I can't be that way. I have a tendency to lament over things. And, oh, man, you know, how many times have I complained about Will Dissly being injured? I mean, I don't think Pete would even do that because, you know, it's just, it's not what the situation is. It is what it is now. And so you have to move on from that. And that's one of the things that makes him such a great coach. And I would like to say also, I'm glad he mentioned the coaches because, you know, those guys, some of them are older. And we know that, you know, the median age of death in the U.S. is 80. And so, you know, the older people definitely are more at risk. And so, and that's not just coaches. I mean, it's like security guys and equipment guys and things like that. So, sounds like, you know, they're going to, and we've heard this from the Mariners too. And this is where I'm trying to be hopeful about this thing that, you know, that they're all going to, you know, follow the compliance really just as closely as they possibly can and take it really serious. And it sounds like, and I'm sure they will get that done.
Yeah, it's, sorry, I was distracted there. I just saw a notice from the Seattle Times that Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott has tested positive for COVID-19. You know, you look at this and we see these things come up. I'm also looking at a story and thinking about Bruce Arians down there in Tampa Bay. And earlier this week, he was saying, it's not a matter of, our players getting sick. It's how sick they're going to get. And I imagine he's really thinking about that today when he found out that his starting left tackle, Donovan Smith, has decided to opt out from playing this season. So he's got Tom Brady trying to have his blind side protected by whoever the second string left tackle is going to be there in Tampa Bay. So Pete Carroll, though, if Dwayne Brown opted out of the season, he'd figure out a way to turn that into a positive. I'm with you guys on that. I would say, though, that Pete Carroll's not human. I mean, this guy's lived, what, he grew up in the Bay Area, then he lived in Southern California. You can't tell me for a second that he hasn't complained about this weather in July in Seattle. I mean, come on. He's probably home with his wife, Glenna, saying, you know, honey, I'm not going to say this publicly, but the weather here stinks, you know, and then just goes about his business.
Nah, I think he does it with a smile on his face and says, you know what? I think we're going to have a great day tomorrow, though. This is going to be a great challenge for us to practice in this weather. And, man, what an opportunity.
What does Pete Carroll, does he go out and look at the marine layer and say, man, that marine layer is beautiful today?
Yep.
You think he actually does that? No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
not in July.
It. I think he
No one looks at that marine layer in July and goes, yeah,
Pete
good
does.
To see you again.
Yeah. Pete does.
I think he finds the warmth in it. He finds the positive in it, Jim. I think. Dave, I think he'd look at a full dishwasher full of clean dishes and attack it and say, what an opportunity to separate the knives and the forks and the spoons. And look at these plates. I can't wait to put these plates up in this cupboard. This is going to be great.
Oh, my God.
He's just that guy. Inside joke there for everybody wondering
That's
what that
was
about.
That's why I could never be. Yeah. I told Bob one time, I don't even know how we got on the subject, but I was like, the thing I hate the most is unloading the dishwasher. And I think what I said was, it's such a grind.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said.
Bob thought that was really funny. I was complaining. So, yeah, I'm no Pete
it's a
Carroll.
Grind.
I am no Pete Carroll, that's for sure.
So
if I'm
good.
Thwarted by a full dishwasher.
Facing a full dishwasher, you just
I
crumble.
I couldn't be a head coach.
Right. More from Pete Carroll, talking about the uncertainty. And he's hitting what we had talked about, that the NFL is in that advantageous spot of watching the other leagues go before them and sort of learning from them. And that's what he talks about here.
Well, you know, this is what a challenging time, John. You know, we're all in and we're going through it. And it happens to be when we're talking football now that, you know, this is a major undertaking that we're preparing for. Camp is just around the corner. With the start times, it appears to be that we're heading towards. There's such a tremendous amount of uncertainty. We were really counting on learning a lot from the NBA as they started up, but their start has been somewhat delayed. You know, they're just getting going now. They're heading into it like the first of the month. Baseball is underway as well, but they've had somewhat of a slower start. We're hoping to learn, you know, as they went through their process.
And they'll still be able to. I mean, I understand camp and all of that, but once their regular season, they still have that gap. And we still don't know if they're going to have any preseason games. That's been a proposal out there. Right now it's been cut to 2 preseason games, but the idea of no preseason games has been floated out there. So we'll see what happens. But the NFL, I still believe, in that advantageous spot of seeing how the other leagues handle this, being able to sort of read the country, all right, are cases continuing to spike? What are we going to do here? I saw, oddly enough, and this is kind of a left turn, but I saw Jacksonville already approved, I think it was 25% capacity in their stadium. And I'm thinking of all places, Jacksonville, Florida, they're the ones to lead the charge with, hey, we're going to allow fans in the stadium. I'm like, you guys are setting records every day for new cases and deaths, and interesting. But anyway, the NFL is still in that spot where they can kind of watch and see what these leagues do well and maybe what they don't do well or what some of those challenges were for them.
Yeah, and, you know, I think for Pete, I mean, again, I think they're in unsure ground right now. But, you know, again, I think if there's anybody who's going to handle it well and somehow come out of it better than everybody else, because that's really the situation, right? If, you know, we talked about this in the very beginning, you can either come out of this thing, you know, fatter, drunker, I mean, there's all, or you can, you know, get to work and take advantage of it and come out of it well. And I feel like, you know, he's the coach in the NFL that's probably going to be best at that in the end.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Dave. I just wonder, though, I mean, do you guys actually think that training camps are going to start on time? And, you know, the NFL is known for, okay, the free agency thing went off without a hitch. The draft went off without a hitch. and everything seems to be going along smoothly, but I just wonder about, I mean, we're 2 weeks away now from training camps opening, and the numbers are spiking around the country. I don't know if they can pull it off or not. I'm thinking they're probably going to be postponing into August a little bit anyway.
We'll see. I mean, you've still got the NBA out there in the bubble in Orlando, which that entire state seems like a hot spot, but they've got training camps underway for the NBA. We're watching what's going on with baseball, and they're moving along as numbers continue to spike. So do I think they'll get started? Yeah, to me, the bigger question is, are they going to be able to finish? And that's true for all these leagues. So we'll see what goes on. But here's one, Jim, you really want to tune into. Pete Carroll giving his thoughts on the Let Russ Cook movement.
Russell is at the best of his game that he's ever been. In his command, his control, his understanding of everything that we can put forth for him allows him to be, I think, at the best he's ever been. And in that, you know, we want him to have more opportunity to be the factor in the game and control the game. But, John, you know, in just football in general, that doesn't mean that you throw the football all the time to do that. We need to be a really good functioning team that's hard to beat because we're so good at the things that we do. That means that you have to have balance in your game.
Yeah, and then just one more. He continues on that, just saying we want to maximize Russell's ability to produce, but you do need balance.
Look at all of the successful teams that won all these games again last year. All of them were balanced teams. So we're not going to take anything away from Russell's ability to produce. We want to maximize his opportunity. So whatever this Russell Cook thing is all about, I don't know what that's about, but he is at his best. He is in the most command he's ever been, and he and Shady, the offensive staff, they have worked this offseason, I think, to a point where we are ready to unveil it, the best version of us. And so that means the best version of Russ. And so he's having his workouts. He's working out with guys every day at his place down in the San Diego area. He's been very consistent, as always, and he's ready to roll.
I like that. I don't know what this Let Russ Cook thing is, but anyway it's about balance, yeah. And I don't think Pete's going to give in to a segment of the fan base that feels like he's actively subverting Russell or whatever anybody thinks. I think he's looking at what gives us the best chance to win, and if that's a balanced offense and we run it 25 times and we throw it 27 times or vice versa, then that's what we're going to do, and hopefully people can live with going to the playoffs every year.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because whenever you press the cooking people on that, saying, okay, you're saying throw more, they will turn around and say, no, don't throw more, just, you know, be more creative. Well, okay, how does that work?
More
is there
flea flickers.
Formula for that? Yeah, I mean, I, you know, is it trick plays? I mean, I see lots of plays that I really like, and we broke it down yesterday. The Packers, where they both, you know, the two receivers ran like slants at each other, stopped and turned around, went the other way. That was very creative, you know. And again, I talked about the deep sail route that Russ throws to Tyler Lockett, kind of checks up in the pocket like it's a half bootleg roll. And, you know, those kinds of things are creative. But, I mean, you know, a lot of times things work. And when you have a guy like Devontae Adams, like the Packers do, he's going to make that happen. It's not so much as you want to blame or I'd say credit the scheme. It's still him and his understanding. And the Seahawks have those kinds of players. I really trust Metcalf that he's going to have an even better year. That guy's a wonderful – he was maybe the best rookie. He's the best rookie that I think I've talked to since Tyler Lockett. I remember Tyler Lockett in 16 or 15, whenever he was drafted, I was like, man, this guy is such a good rookie. The way he approaches it, his study, everything. DK Metcalf kind of surpassed that, I thought. And so I have a lot of confidence in him, and I'm hoping they have all the right weapons that they need. But yeah, that with the he's got a proven formula. Right. And by the way, the Patriots are also really good at running the ball. And really good on defense in kind of a sneaky way. You look back like they were number one last year. And that's the thing that I think is missing the most. So, you know, if you had improve your defense or let Russ cook, I would say Russ is cooking. You got to get your defense back because that's really the formula that's helped them win here. Running the ball. Russell's been fantastic, but and he's perfect at running that system. But getting the running game going and having a really good defense is to me much more important.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I got to admit, I was weakening a little bit today, though. I was listening to Jake and Stacy, and they had Michael Bumpus on. And, yeah, if you're not going to improve that defense, and I know that Pete feels like they've addressed the pass rush with the two veterans they brought in, Mayo and Irvin, and the two draft choices they picked, and then getting Jordan Brooks and maybe use him in some pass rushing schemes, too. But, I mean, that defense, and now we're hearing, you know, I mean, Dunbar doesn't look likely there at the right corner spot now in light of the news we got from him, from his case today. So maybe you do need to outscore opponents. And I don't, you know, Jake was stressing today that he's talking about being more aggressive and more creative, that type of thing. And I think what he's talking about, too, is on, like I read the other day, Pro Football Focus said that Russell Wilson's the highest graded quarterback on third and fourth downs in 2019. And so we've seen that because the guy always comes through under pressure, and he's probably the highest graded guy in the fourth quarter, too, with the comebacks that he leads. So I don't know where he is on first and second down, but that's probably where they'd like to see him make some improvement or get more. It sounds like I always thought that Russell had the ability to audible whenever he wants to when he gets up to the line of scrimmage, but maybe that's not the case. And, you know, they're talking about giving him full rein on everything. Well, I already thought he had that. Maybe he doesn't. But so whatever the case might be, Michael Bumpus was talking about, you know, having some more RPOs in the offense, that type of thing. So maybe you could do some more of that. But Bump also said he feels like Pete Carroll's stuck in his ways, and part of that might be a function of his age, being he'll turn 69 later this year. But I don't know, like what you're saying, Dave. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with, man, I've always done it this way, and look at the success I've had. I'm going to be a Hall of Fame coach someday, and I'm going to change my stripes all of a sudden. And again, going back to what you say, Dave, about every time Russell throws, when he's throwing in the 30s, instead of in that comfort zone, that sweet spot of 25, 26 passes a game, the win-loss percentage goes down. So there's a case to be made on both sides, I guess.
Well, some thoughts from Pete on the defense, and he feels like they really went after fixing the issues on defense in the offseason.
We certainly went after the issues, you know, and it didn't work out right. You know, he wasn't able to get to true form at any time last year because of his shoulder and all of that. We did not get the production on the edge that we wanted, and so we went and addressed it. Getting Bruce Irvin in the program was really important for us because Bruce can play the Sam spot, and he's been a Leo. He's been both. And so that gave us, you know, a sense of security that we had some flexibility from the start. But then to get Benson Mayowit to come in, who had a very solid year last year at Dallas with 8 sacks or so, and he's played the position, the Leo spot. And then to draft and hit 2 guys in the draft that we really like and are really pass rush oriented guys that can help us speed wise and in the rotation. It's going to be a great competition.
So he's feeling good about what they've acquired in the offseason, obviously pointing to the rookies and Irvin and Mayoa and all of that. And then one of the rookies that he's really excited about, obviously, is the Jordan Brooks.
Really excited about, you know, about getting Jordan. I think he's going to be a fantastic addition to us. We'll find out how it goes. It's going to take a little bit of time. We haven't been on the field for a step yet, so we don't know until we get out there. But everything that he's done and how he's demonstrated his learning ability and taking to the system and all shows us that he should be right in there ready to contribute, and it just makes us competitively better, and that's the whole idea.
So he's ready to get Brooks in there right away.
How about that? Yeah, I'm really excited to see him. It was just such a – I just remember when we were doing the draft and they picked him. You know, you picked an inside linebacker? Really? I just was – I was so surprised by that. But
you weren't alone.
But, you know, after – yeah, I'm sure. And I think everybody thought defensive end for sure, that there's no way that they would take a guy. It was kind of like when they took Christian Michael. Now, I hate to compare it to that pick, Jim, because you and I were doing it.
That didn't work out well.
Yeah, we thought he was Christian
Lynch. We were calling him Christine, yeah, and that he turned out to be not great. But it was kind of like that where it's like, well, do you really need that? But they thought that he was, you know, he was a really good player. Maybe they didn't know what was running around in his brain. But yeah, I mean, Brooks, watching him and just the more I've learned about him, the more excited I've been. But it's just, that part's going to be fun to see. How do they get him in? Well, I mean, you get two pretty good linebackers there with KJ and Bobby, and really Cody Barton for that matter, because I think they will definitely play a lot more nickel than they will base. And if they don't, that will indicate that they did not find a good nickel player, which would be really, I won't say a setback. I mean, I don't think they're going to improve if they don't have that guy. So, but yeah, getting Brooks out there and just his speed and everything, he might be one of these guys that ends up being just a real surprise for a lot of people, because I think right now a lot of people don't expect that much from him just because of the position he plays.
Jim, did you want to weigh in or no?
No, I don't, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, I could have said something. I could have, like, faked my way through that right there, and I just thought, not going to do it.
All right. I appreciate the honesty. I got nothing. Yeah. All right, let's move on to another one from Pete. Talking about they tweaked the secondary a bit, and Marquise Blair, in his opinion, should be a factor.
You know, a couple of tweaks there and on the back end, too, and the competition should be up, you know, Marquise Blair coming together for us, physically ready and all that to hit camp with all the background learning should be a factor for us out of last year's draft. And away we go. So we're really pumped about it, John. And I don't see it any other way. I don't see anything to stop us from being really improved on defense.
In breaking news, he's really pumped about what they're doing defensively and what Marquise Blair is going to do. He's fired up about it. And maybe we'll see what goes on with Jamal Adams. We had that interview earlier with a writer from New York Newsday, or the Daily News, excuse me, out there talking about he doesn't think they're going to trade him at all. But he's excited about the potential of Blair. A lot of people are, and we didn't get a chance to see a ton of him. But he's still that guy you feel's got really, really nice intangibles, and you'd love to see him refine and just get an opportunity to show. Can he be that next Cam Chancellor, another version of that? Can he be that, or are we putting too much in terms of his promise? Is there too much we're putting on him, and maybe he's a lesser version of that?
Well, I mean, I think unless they're able to pull off the Jamal Adams deal, they're going to have to rely on that. I mean, it won't be just, oh, well, I hope he plays better. He has to play better. He has to be a huge part of it. And, you know, if you go back and watch, which I went back and watched every game, and, you know, the times, Blair stood out to me, and he wasn't in a lot.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, how often was he? Plays. I don't know if you got a number of plays out there, but, man, it feels, outside of special teams, really limited.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, maybe 5 or 10 per game. I mean, there were some where he played 20, but for the most part, yeah, he did. You know, it was so, what, maybe 150 plays, 125 plays, something like that. And, you know, he stood out to me in a couple of situations where, and it wasn't so much like, wow, that was a great play. It was just that I didn't really expect to see much from him, because if you go and watch LJ Collier, who was the first round choice, I mean, there really wasn't anything. You know, there was some good hustle and everything, but with Blair, he actually, you know, came up and laid some hits and, you know, almost jarred a ball loose in that San Francisco game at the end of the season. So, you know, there were some things to like, but it just wasn't a lot of opportunity because, again, they were so safe last year. They played everything really safe. They kept everything in front of them. And I felt like they didn't ever put their rookies in a position to where they were going to get exposed. And the one time that they did wasn't until the end of the season, and it was Ugo Amadi in the playoff game against Green Bay, where it's like, okay, now I can kind of see why, you know, that maybe some of these rookies just weren't at the point that they needed them to be to get them on the field.
Yeah, we'll see with Blair this year, but you know, the cynical part of me left for a second, but it's back, and I just want to share that with you.
Surprising that it's on the heels of us talking about Blair.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with Blair.
Oh, okay.
But when Pete says there's nothing to stop us from being really improved on defense, now I think he said that before we found out about his potential starting right cornerback paying off alleged victims.
Don't you feel like he knew?
That might be something that will stop that defense from improving.
Do you think this was news to them, or do you think they've gotten a heads up after he hired the second attorney, at least?
Yeah, they probably had an inkling, is what I would guess.
Yeah. All right. Let me play this one quickly. I have no idea what it's about, but Morris said it might be kind of funny to play because apparently Pete refers to himself in the third person here.
At this time of year, and I don't think it's any surprise to any of your listeners, that Pete's fired up.
I know.
that is where it is right now. So I just want to get this camp started really well and really get orchestrated beautifully so that we can handle it and help everybody be safe.
I don't think I've heard him go third person before. No. Pete's fired up. It's making Bob uncomfortable.
I love him.
Dave loves it.
God. All right, there you go. There's some of the head coach.
Dave loves it, Bob.
Who was on? Bob would like Dave to stop that. Pete was on with John Clayton. You guys can check that out on the podcast page as well. We'll come back. In case you missed the news, it's not good surrounding Quentin Dunbar. A big story coming out in New York News Daily News, and it's just we'll go through some of the details of it for those that have just tuned in. Next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. You can download it for free. Take us with you out in this beautiful weather. Love this weather out there. So you can listen to the show as you're on the go. You can listen to the podcast, text in, whatever you want to do. If you don't have that app, download it. We'll get to mean texts coming up in the next segment. We collect all of the mean things you text into us throughout the week. And as long as it's creative, it's got a shot to make the air. So you still have some time to spill some of your venom. 710-710, the busy hard seltzer text line is where you want to send those. But we open the show, unfortunately, talking about a story that came out, and it just is not good. It came out of the New York Daily News, and the headline reads, "Exclusive video evidence, Instagram DMs, testimony show payoff cover-up for DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar further implicate NFL players in crime." And that's written by Pat Leonard, who joined us earlier in the show, and that'll be available on the podcast page for you after the show if you missed it. But it's a long story. I tweeted it out if you want to read it, at Bob Stelton on Twitter. You can check it out. But, guys, it's just, you know, for people that are just tuning in, it is beyond damning. And nobody comes out of it looking good, including the four witnesses who did a complete about-face. Baker, Dunbar. Oh, and Dunbar's attorney, Mr. Grieco, who had all of this take place at his office, and apparently, according to the story, the payoff, all of it caught on video.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people are going to go, I mean, I'm assuming that's grounds for disbarment for Grieco. and then, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that, as you like to say, Bob, are complicit in this.
They're all complicit, Dave.
Yeah, apparently. Dominic Johnson's the guy that kind of oversaw the whole payoff. By the way, Pat Leonard was fantastic from the New York Daily News. I just loved the way he answered all of the questions, and he just had a lot of information. But there's video of in one of the paragraphs talks about video footage and from a camera in an elevator, and it shows a big, huge bag of cash.
Yeah,
Sorry,
Dave. I was going to play some of what Pat Leonard said for those that missed it. Dave just made reference to Pat Leonard. He writes for the Daily News, and here he is talking about what Dave was just talking about. They obtained a warrant and says there's video of the man referred to as Coach. The four witnesses talked about and Dunbar's attorney at his office with a bag of money.
It's orchestrated or overseen by a witness in the case, Dominic Johnson, who told police that he's known Baker and Dunbar since they were children. And it actually includes video evidence. And this all occurred on video at the office of Dunbar's attorney, Michael Grieco. And it shows Dunbar's attorney, this is according to the warrant, shows Dunbar's attorney, the four alleged victims, Johnson, and an unnamed person with a bag full of money going into Grieco's office.
Going in, Grieco is Dunbar's original attorney. Now, we talked about him hiring a second attorney, and maybe it's in light of this coming out. And then one more from Leonard talking about the warrant states that there is testimony from the four alleged victims that they were paid off.
It contains testimony from the four alleged victims that they were paid off, a total of $55,000, in order to sign an affidavit that, as you guys know, recanting their testimony from 2 days prior. And, you know, so it was one guy got paid $30,000 or said he did. Another guy said he got paid $20,000, and then two guys split $5,000.
Feels like everybody's in trouble. I don't know what the punishment is here. I don't know what the chart is. It perjury, or do you have to be in a court of law for that to be perjury? I don't know. Filing false reports. I don't. you know, and then the attorney.
Obstruction of justice.
Yeah, I mean, the attorney, you know, can he be disbarred? Yeah. I mean, and then, the original crime, if there was a gun pulled and Baker and Dunbar were a part of that, it just feels like everybody's really facing some really awful situations. And maybe money can buy them out of a more substantial penalty. We'll see what happens. But, man, it feels like everybody involved is just looking at something really awful right now.
I feel like this is kind of a Jim Moore comment before you start, Jim, is that did anybody else wonder why one guy got 30, one guy got 20, and then two guys had to split five?
Yeah.
Did they not have the gun pointed at them, or why did those guys?
I was trying to picture
only get
that.
$2,500.
I was trying to picture that. Why wasn't that split evenly among those guys? And, you know, I mean, what, the guy that wanted 5 grand was like, hey, man, if you just give me 5 grand, I'll stay quiet.
Maybe they were on the periphery, and the 30 grand guy was the one that had the gun pulled on him and had his phone taken away or something. Who knows?
I know it's not laughable, but, yeah, sorry for laughing there.
Well, nobody got hurt, luckily enough.
I was just looking, Michael McCann Sports Law, he tweeted something out. If it's true that witnesses were bribed to change their story in the alleged armed robbery by Quentin Dunbar and DeAndre Baker, that could lead to separate criminal charges for witness tampering, obstruction of justice, like you mentioned, Dave, and giving false info to police, among other possible charges. Yikes. And this, the attorney part of it just really blows me away, too. This Michael Grieco, who is, you know, this real polished guy coming on the air and talking to John Clayton and, you know, saying it's very important to make sure people know that Quentin's innocent. He's going to walk away from this exonerated. Same guy who called witnesses scam artists. And, you know, here he is at the middle of this controversy. So we'll see how it plays out. But I would suspect, and we also learned from Pat Leonard, that DeAndre Baker probably is not long on that Giants roster, and I would suspect the same for Quentin Dunbar. I mean, that really will tell you how desperate the Seahawks are to fix that defense if Dunbar is going to be on this roster much longer.
Yeah, maybe they wait for it to play out. I mean, I don't
Why?
Know.
Why would they wait at this point?
I don't know, Jim. Maybe they don't. I'm speculating. I don't know.
Well, I know innocent until proven guilty, but if you read all this stuff and you've been following this case all along, do you really want this guy as part of your team?
Not if it's true. No. Not if it's true. And we're still in that if phase, as damning as this article is, saying there's video evidence, there's direct messages on Instagram, there's texts going back and forth. If all of that is true and it truly exists, it feels pretty open and shut and very damning, and I don't know if you're the Seahawks or the Giants how you justify keeping either player on your roster. And they may not be available to play, by the way. They could be sitting behind bars.
Oh, yeah. Well, and somebody texted in, what do the Seahawks lose in this? Well, I guess they lose a fifth rounder. And then, you know, just an opportunity in free agency that they made a really good move to get, you know. And again, you know, we talk to all the people in Washington, and who was the ex-player that we had on that was fantastic? I'm sure I'm blanking on his name, and he talked about Quentin Dunbar a little bit from NFL Network.
D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah, D'Angelo Hall. Yeah. So, and he knew him, and it was a total surprise that, you know, this guy wasn't like a high risk type of character guy. You know, we talked to Pat Leonard. He said maybe DeAndre Baker was a little bit, but it's shocking. It's a bummer for the Seahawks, and you know, there's lots of bad things going on with this case. But you know, ultimately, you look at, as the texter asked, I mean, they're out of a fifth round draft choice now because of this, and also that was a big fix for them. So now they may have to go and do something like with Jamal Adams. You know, maybe if they do, they might be more likely to do that. Then they're going to have to give up more, you know, draft choices to get him. They might have to give up a first at some point, which could be a really fantastic player. So just the ripple effect of just this one act of, you know, from Quentin Dunbar is just, you know, football-wise, it's serious socially, certainly, and you know, as far as the futures of all the people involved, it's a huge deal. So,
and we got a text from somebody that said 509 said, just a settlement, you guys are looking too deep into it. And I said, well, maybe, are you an attorney? And they said, yes, I've been an attorney for 15 years. If they're accurate, then if they're being truthful about being an attorney, they would know better than we would. Maybe it will be a settlement. It sounds serious on the surface when you're changing testimony and coercing witnesses and all these things that are being accused, these guys are accused of, but we'll see what happens. We'll come back Your mean texts will be unveiled for the week. Coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
We do this every Friday here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. We take the insults, the hurtful things that you guys text into us throughout the week at 710-710, the Busy Hard Seltzer text line. We collect them and we unveil them each week just to let you know we have thick skin, we can take it, and really just to show you how mean and hurtful you can be. Maura, what do we have this week?
Well, the 206 says, I just realized baseball means you lose your repeat hour and we don't get to learn anything, do we? This sucks worse than Jim's takes.
Oh.
Oh.
Ouch.
Why, Jim? Why?
Poor Jimmy. We get to learn we get to learn what you really think of us in mean texts.
So, does that mean I have bad takes? Is that what they're trying to do?
I think that's what they're inferring there, yeah.
Yeah. Well. Oh, well.
Fine with me.
I don't even think Jim likes it when people say that he has a take.
I hate
you
that,
always
make, honestly.
You always say that derisively, like the hot take.
I do. You know why? Because it's just your opinion. It's not, you know, well, let me give you my take on that. Oh, okay. I can't wait. You know, yeah. It's, I don't know, that's kinda like when did that start? It's just, you know, a cool word for opinion.
That's like
how about, here's what
say,
I think of, here's what I think
I'm going to keep
that.
It real.
I'm going to keep it 100.
I'm going to keep it real for you. Or I'm going to keep it 100. It's like, okay, here comes your version of the truth.
Yeah.
Is what that is. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of those meaningless things.
Well, have you guys ever, like back in the day when we used to drive into work, did you ever sit there and think, I'm going to have this hot take today or that hot take? I've never thought like that.
No, it's feels more of a recent phenomenon when somebody's got an extreme opinion or the contrarian opinion, right?
That's why you're not a radio guy, Jim.
I'm not a radio guy, Dave. Neither are you.
Jim, you've been in radio for like 10 years. You're a radio guy. As our boss told you, you're a radio guy.
I'm a newspaper guy who happens to be on the radio.
All right. Well, I'm a linebacker who happens to be on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What else did we get, Maura?
I'm down with that.
253 says, Jim just offered to bet, and you guys didn't take him up on it. Fools, you could have had Jim in Husky gear, slackers.
What was the bet? I asked him. I didn't see the response. What was the bet? Was, I missed it.
Jim, I forget what it was,
but
I think
I... Play any... No, huh? It was Rick Riz saying goodbye baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Oh.
Okay, someone texted Rick
Riz. We didn't
Rick
bet
Riz.
Anything on it.
Somebody texted
Rick. I already
Rick.
Did.
What'd he say?
I already did.
He always says goodbye baseball when there's a home run.
I'm going to tell you what he said. Number one, I asked him that. He said yes, and then he followed up, at least I try to.
Oh,
so,
that's gray area.
Yeah. And
Bob,
I told Rick that we had a bet, and and I didn't tell him that you called him a slacker for not saying it, by the way.
I don't think I called him a slacker. I was just surprised. I've never heard a Rick Riz home run call without goodbye baseball.
Yeah. Mm. God, it was good to hear Rick today.
Oh, it was awesome.
And Goldsmith, too. I love both those guys. Rick's one of my favorite voices. I just love the conversation that he has during the game. It's just so laid back. And
makes
I feel like it's
happy.
Like, well, yeah, it's like a like I'm sitting next to a fireplace with my slippers on and a cigar. And yeah, it's just. It's
Dave,
fantastic.
That's how our listeners feel when we do story time. It's comfortable. It's relaxing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've made people plenty uncomfortable
Just
some of those.
Just
stories.
Jim, when you start talking about caking pants and things like that. What else did we, what else came our way, Maura?
This is from Jen in Beaverton. She says, mean text, maybe Dave should let his wife steal some food off the plate these days. Love you, Dave.
Yeah, I told Jen I was going to... Jen and Beaverton's been listening to our show for a long time. And the other day we talked about how I don't like my wife ever... Like, if she asks me for something to eat off of my plate, I say no. Because all of the food on my plate is already accounted for. Like, I have the amount that I want. So, yeah, that was a good one by Jen.
Yeah.
Love you too, Jen.
Yeah, we all love Jen. And, yeah, you guys see my email today? I had it happen last night again.
An incident.
It didn't go well.
at Malarkey's in Issaquah.
You take your pants?
No, I'll give you the brief version. At Malarkey's in Issaquah, I ordered a prime rib dip with fries, and Kathy got chicken noodle soup. And then as soon as our order arrived, she reached over and grabbed a fry. And then I got upset. Oh. I got upset, and she said, well, you know, why are you getting upset? I only want a few. And then I proceeded to give her five, which is more than a few. And then she felt like I gave her just the crummy little fries, and she reached over for some more. And then she accused me of being selfish and that any food on her plate was open to me, and it resulted in her ordering a side order of fries and not eating all of the fries that came. Yeah, it was another blissful.
And then what was your advice at the end of that email, Jim?
I forget, Bob. What was it?
It was advice for Maura and I.
You know, we worked through
it,
though.
Can you read it?
We worked through it, though.
I don't want to throw Jim under the bus. If he wants to repeat it, he can. I just thought
why not?
I thought it was funny.
But Dave, come on. I mean, if you want fries, go ahead and order them in the first place.
Yeah, Jim, I'm 1,000% with you. Why? I would have turned around. I said no, but I'll tell you what. Excuse me, waitress. Can we get a side order of fries over here?
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably a couple bucks, right? Yeah, I'm with you on that, Jim.
And so then I felt
don't tell Kathy.
We're all on the same page with that. None of us like people reaching onto our plate and grabbing food. And Maura sent us a text when we talked about it last time, said, oh, if you had fries, I would definitely reach over and take them. But I would ask first.
I just thought fries.
I told Maura, I will tell you no, even if you asked.
But if they're an option, I usually get my own. I mean, if there's like a fry entree, you know, fries smothered in something, I'll go for that.
Here's a good one from the 509. Dave, you bring so much joy to the room when you walk out the door and leave.
You know what?
It's good.
Honestly, I started reading that and I was like, oh, that's such a nice tech. Oh.
Okay. That's sucker
Jim. The 509 that wrote that, they're very funny because earlier they said the cooking people can't even use a microwave.
What about good this was in reference to you guys talking yesterday. 509 says, yes, Dave, every team has a turd. You have Jim.
Oh.
Oh,
oh
no.
Boy.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Oh. You make it sad when you respond like that, Jim.
I don't mind being called that. That's
you'll
right.
be okay. You'll be okay.
Wait a minute. Was that the 509?
Yeah.
Oh, any other area code, I'll take that. But I like to Jim think that okay. I'm a 509 favorite. I always talk so highly of the 509.
But, yeah.
By the way, the person that
really fast.
The person that ripped your takes, Jim, responded and said, Jim, it was just a joke. I picked on you because you're a fellow coup. Sorry to get under your skin.
Well, it didn't really get under my skin. But, yeah, fellow coup, come on. Fellow coups, we look out for each other, don't we?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Protect the team.
Yeah. Anything else more?
I like this one was aimed at baseball players when Jim was talking about attire. Thank you, Jim. Go Sox. The long pants are the worst thing that happened to baseball, and that's not sarcasm. I hate guys that have long pants.
All right. Yeah. Good enough.
I kind of like the long pants.
Strong.
I like the long Lewis. Pants look. Kyle Lewis looks Felix. Good with those blue socks.
All right, good stuff. We always appreciate it. You guys can text in throughout the week all the mean, hurtful things you want. 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. I want to thank our guests today, Manish Mehta and Pat Leonard, both from the Daily News. We really appreciate their insight into the news surrounding the Seahawks. If you missed any of today's show, just head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click that podcast button. Check those conversations out. Very informative. And click on our picture. They're all right there waiting for you. And this week's edition of Get in the Cage features a local fighter from Yakima who's making news in the UFC, Julian Arosa, coming off a massive upset a couple weeks ago. So good conversation with him. That's brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. That's up there for you as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you on Monday right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I'll suck my gut in.